For a long time, we focused for many years of women forming a community and supporting other women. And we're really into the next phase that we always wanted to be, is women aligning with our male colleagues as allies and supporters for mutual benefit. Because all the data shows that the more diversity that you have at the table, the more your relative returns go up. Awareness doesn't move the needle. What moves the needle is action. What moves the needle is programs.
Welcome to FNAT Silica's We Talk IoT. We'll chat with innovators, experts, and business owners to learn how they are implementing IoT and using data to create new business opportunities. I am your host, Stephanie Ruth Haydack. Welcome to a special International Women's Day episode of We Talk IoT, where we shine a light on the women shaping the future of technology. Today, I'm honored to host Jackie Mattox, the founder of Women in Electronics, a pivotal force advocating for diversity and empowerment in the tech industry. Join us as we delve into Jackie's inspiring journey, the work of Women in Electronics, and the crucial role of mentorship and inclusion in driving innovation. Jackie, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Could you start by sharing a bit about your journey and what inspired you to establish Women in Electronics?
Sure. Well, I will just have to say that I wound up in the industry, just like a lot of people, kind of by accident. So my story is that I really aspired to be a broadcast journalist. That was my dream in life. And in college, just some family circumstances took place, and I was going to go away from my studio career and needed a job. And so I went to the career recorder at my university, and there was a job available in the technology world, in the electronics industry. And it was a salary and a car and insurance and all the things I needed at the time. So I wound up in the industry that way, by need, but I stayed by want. And the thing I found in this industry is it's an amazing community of people that wound up here somehow, some way. But it's the people who capture you, who keep you here. The relationships over so long of a period of time have been amazing. So I first started in the rep world. And through that, I was able to meet a lot of leaders. I was able to learn about design. I was able to understand how distribution worked, manufacturing. And when you're in that space, you have access to the whole channel. So that was very instrumental for me to make all those contacts. And I would say it was me and the guys a lot. So it was a good run for me. I had a lot of amazing mentors that I would not be here right now without them, right? So it was not a negative thing. It was actually very positive. And I never thought much of it, but it was always, I was being sent to these executive conferences and it was me and the guys. And thankfully, those relationships and those people I met stayed in the industry and are now part of some of our sponsor family.
Mm-hmm. And why did you establish Women in Electronics? How did that come about?
Well, it's because when I had my start in the industry, again, it was me and the guys a lot, which was great. I was always going to the executive conferences. There wasn't too many women, but I didn't notice it too much until I took a step out of the industry for a period of time to raise my three children. My husband was traveling the world and, you know, somebody needed to raise the children. So I stayed home and took a period of time off. When I came back into the industry, very oddly, I went back to the same exact position I had been in prior to leaving. Same company, same position. Went back to those executive conferences right away again. And I really was expecting that I was now going to be the older one. I was now going, everything was just going to look so different. And I was stunned to find that nothing had changed.
Oh.
Except our generation of leaders was now getting older. There weren't too many women. There wasn't a lot of diversity. And I felt like it was like a time warp. And although I was super happy to see all those same people and wanted them there, I was just wondering where everyone else was.
Oh, that's interesting. I would have imagined that maybe it would have changed a little bit at least, but you said you would crush my hopes in our briefing call.
Yes. And I'll tell you, so we started Women in Electronics. That was in 2017. That's when I had the idea to start Women in Electronics because I was like, what is going on? All these women I meet are amazing. Why aren't they at this executive level? I don't understand what's happening. Not to disparage any of the male leaders, because the industry's big enough, we need both. There is room for everyone. So it shouldn't be looked at, oh, if the women come in, they're replacing the men. That's absolutely not true. As more women come in, we expand the industry and we make it bigger. So the data, all the research and data shows that. So what happened was I had this idea to just find out, do the women in the industry feel like this is something needed? So the first Women Electronics annual leadership development, we called it a conference at the time, now we call it a summit, but we formed the first one with only 20 people. I only wanted 20 women that represented the supply chain. I wanted to see, is this something that women feel we need at this day and time in our industry? And it wasn't about complaining. It wasn't like a wine group. It wasn't anything like that. It was a packed agenda of learning and development, of thought leadership. It was amazing. So those 20 women showed, we had our two-day event. And let me just tell you, that's what sparked we from there, because we all decided collectively together, yes, we want to do this. We want to do it in a way that's very honoring of each other, women supporting women, and also honoring of men who have supported us to get where we are now. And we wanted to do this together and not apart. So the first step of we was really a matter of getting all the women together to support each other. And we could talk about that more. That's always the number one area to start, is women supporting other women. So for a long time, we focused for many years of women forming a community and supporting other women. And we're really into the next phase that we always wanted to be, is women aligning with our male colleagues as allies and supporters for mutual benefit. Because all the data shows that the more diversity that you have at the table, the more your relative returns go up. So let me give you an example of the why, and why we're so passionate about, you know, continuing this effort. So I mentioned in 2017, we started, the data showed that we had 15% of women in leadership roles. That's decision-making leadership roles. In 2024, all the data shows we have 8% of women in leadership roles. So we have gone backwards. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. One of the big reasons is awareness doesn't move the needle. What moves the needle is action. What moves the needle is programs. So a lot of times you take these initiatives like Women in Electronics, and you have a lot of people that capitalize on it. You have media outlets and all different people doing all these different types of awards, but there's no weight behind it. It's like, what did those women do to earn that? Why are you highlighting this? Is this just an advertising thing? Is this just a profit thing? There's so many things like that going on that really heightened the awareness. And we are just as guilty at Women Electronics because we've brought so much awareness. But in our defense, we're coming alongside with the programs, with the global mentorship program, with the learning and development, with the communities. We are that dedicated organization focused on this, paying attention to the data. And that's what we need. So I would say my message would be, we're not here just to bring awareness. We are not a wine club, right? We are here to move the needle for not only ourselves, but the next generation. And we need everyone to understand that this is data and research based. And we can all align in this. We can all align for a common cause. It's not just for women. It's for our mothers, our daughters, our sisters, our aunts, our all of our family members. We all have everyone we love and support. And the more we support and prioritize women in our society, the more everybody's lives improves, the more profits improves at organizations, the more families improve. So this is a systemic issue that we have to tackle together.
Yeah, we've talked about this when discussing International Women's Day, which is today when our episode airs, that I get very excited because it will bring awareness to women in electronics and women in tech especially. But then at the same time, the more I think about it, the angrier I get and I get really frustrated. It's 2024. Why are we still talking about this? It seems that we are moving backwards at this point in time. And when I grew up and went to university, no one looked weird at me because I had wanted to study computer science, or I was also the only woman in a tech publishing house. So I was the only female editor at the time, but it didn't feel weird. It wasn't an issue. I didn't have to be welcomed like a unicorn or something. I was just treated like a normal colleague, right? But now I have the feeling like for 10 years, it's moving backwards for some reason.
Yes. And I think I would say there's a lot of reason for that. So in a male-dominated industry, which if you look across all industries across the globe, many industries, a lot of them are male-dominated. I mean, that is just a systemic issue. So I would say the message with women in electronics, it's not fighting one or the other, right? It's really the progress is when people understand that this is a unity thing. This is an opportunity for people to come together for the betterment of everyone. It's not just a feel-good movement. It's actually a sound financial case, you know, for businesses. So we have, if we look at it like that, we take the emotions out of it. And I mentioned at the beginning about women supporting other women. Our biggest threat is women not supporting other women. It's the women who say, oh, there's no need for that. Oh, I did it. You should be able to. Oh, I didn't have this issue. Oh, it's not an issue for me. Meanwhile, a lot of these women, if you look at them, you know, maybe they weren't, you know, they had made the choice not to have children and to focus on their career. Maybe they made a choice for certain things, but why should we have to make that choice? Why can't we have marriages and children and provide and be workers in a very meaningful and impactful way? I think as a society, we have to look at this. And I would challenge any woman who's in any leadership position to look at themselves and what they are doing to raise up more leaders. Not because the numbers, not because, oh, I'm going to support this person for the quota. It's not about that. It's about there's true talent out there. There's deserved and well-earned talent that could rise up that's very qualified. So instead of looking outside all of our organizations, look under your nose of who's already there, even if they're not asking. Most women won't apply for a promotion or a job rec if they can't fulfill 10 of the 10 requirements. You know, where our male colleagues thrive is if they're got 5 or 6, they're golden. They're ready to learn everything else. And they're confident about it. We need to do the same thing. We need to understand that we don't know everything on that job rec, but we are willing to go learn it. So women, just start rising up for those next level positions and other women in leadership roles. Go put your, tap somebody who hasn't stepped up, but you know they have the ability and the skills. This is where we can help move the needle.
And especially now with all this new tech rolling over us in such a drastic pace, right? Every month now there's a new thing coming, so it seems. So we have AI, we have all these new advancements with machine learning, we have all this tech that makes it almost impossible for anybody to keep up the knowledge level that is required for certain jobs. And I think it was Ginni Rometty who mentioned, why are we still using university degrees as an entry requirement? And if she were still leader of IBM, she would be done with it, because there are so many people who, like you said, also women who then in night classes, online courses, educate themselves and teach themselves how to code and program and about AI and machine learning, but technically they wouldn't have the necessary requirements to enter into a position like this, right? So I thought this was quite an interesting statement as well.
Well, I love that you said that, because I feel exactly the same way. And I think one of our biggest barriers in this industry is we tend to focus too much on the degree. So for example, we'll just talk engineering. We really do have a systemic issue with having the amount of female engineers graduating in STEM, right? We need more of that. It's a systemic issue. But what I've noticed in my career, a lot of times we'll hire an engineer because they have the double E, and then we promote them in management positions, but they haven't been trained in human skills. A lot of them have not proven to be good leaders, even though they have the technical ability. It's just as important. And as we're finding in our world now, the human skills, the empathy, the leading with passion, all these things are so essential. Not to disparage, not to say there's no engineers that don't have those skills. There are, but you have to develop it. You have to be committed to it. You have to, you know, have a passion for that. So why are we taking people who are natural, great, amazing leaders of people? It's very easy to go get a degree on the other side. Go get educated at companies. Invest in your people. We all about have the same IQ. It's been proven through all the data. It's rare for somebody to have a much more elevated IQ. In general, all people have about the same IQ level. We can all learn a lot of the same things. So if you have people that are very qualified and they just need that technical degree, support them to go get that degree.
And you mentioned numbers and that it's proven that diversity actually improves the output of a company. Why do you think it is so hard to understand the value of diversity?
Oh, that is a really good question. You know, I think that we have a lot of biases in our society. So if you look at the leadership tables, the majority in our industry, you rarely have women at that top, you know, as I mentioned, 8%. But the data shows, is you can go on our website, womenelectronics.com, about we have a corporate presentation. There's lots of data in there. Go fact check and do your research. That corporate presentation is loaded with data from very credible sources that we compile and try to present to you in a way where you can understand and make good business decisions with it. But one of the main facts in that presentation that always strikes me, and I say it at every presentation I give because it's still, I can't believe the data, your relative returns go up 19% when you have parity at the table. That is tremendous. And I look at companies and all the layoffs and all the cost cutting and everything we do, we can do something like that and increase the relative returns. Why do we ignore that? Why is that something we kick the can down the road? Why are we not dedicated and focused to making that happen? Again, there's qualified, very qualified people out there. It is not a quota. You will not receive those benefits with a quota, with just putting a person there just to show you have that person. It's the qualified person who deserves the opportunity, who should be there. If organizations could do that, your relative returns will go up 19%.
That's incredible.
It's incredible.
We will take a short break. Stay with us. We will be hearing from our guests very shortly. This podcast is brought to you by Avnet Silica, the engineers of evolution. We help you bring secure, intelligent, and connected products to market. If you want to learn more about us, we have put information and links in this episode's show notes, and you can also connect with us on LinkedIn or avnet-silica.com. That's avnet-silica.com. Can you share some success stories from Women in Electronics? Are there some examples you can share?
You know what? We have way too many to share, I would say. I would say one of
That's good.
I would say it's our team. So we have an amazing team. When Women Electronics was just formed, I aligned with Amy Keller and Monica Heifeld. They are the executive directors who, when I first started this, went to them and said, hey, do you want to do this with me? They both got on board. And since 2017, me, Monica, and Amy have met almost every week. One of us would have to be sick or something's going on to not make it. But pretty much every week since 2017, we have all met to drive this organization forward. If you want to look at a success story, look at that. Women coming together and being dedicated for the sake of other women, for the sake of overcoming barriers. So to me, if I look at a success story, just that executive team coming together every week for all this time, being passionate and dedicated, it's like I want people to understand what they have working behind the scenes to help them rise and to help the next generation rise. So Monica Heifel has taken the passion and the effort to lead our mentorship program, which has been wildly successful. It's a global program, and we have seen so much movement from this mentorship program. Almost everybody comes in, gets elevated. We are a formal program in nature to bring people together, but more informal when people get their relationships going. So the way they run this mentorship program is amazing. Mm-hmm. And we've seen a tremendous success. Let's just say that. So many examples. So you can go on our corporate presentation again. You can go on our website. You can find a lot of information. And then Amy Keller has been very instrumental and helpful with our learning and development and strategizing. You know, we look at neuroscience. We look at all the forward-thinking leadership principles that are based on leadership neuroscience and what's proven and what's worked and what has worked historically, what hasn't. We don't hop on board with just the latest trends. We really research the trainers we're bringing on. We research the methods that we're presenting. So if I look at that team, Amy has been such a strategy person for us in that she knows the industry really well and what will apply and work for our industry. And we all talk as a team with all of our pillars, which are learning and development, mentorship, and our community. And we all strategize very regularly. What's working? What's not working? What do we need to bring? How do we elevate people, not just our women, but our men? So we have our We United concept, which is women and men coming together. So you will see a lot of our events are being promoted as We United. So we would love more men to come to the table to help us strategize and implement this program as well. And really, it is beneficial for everyone.
And that's terrific. And for anybody who wants to join, we will, of course, put your link in the show notes so that our listeners can see what you're up to and get in touch if they want to participate, right?
Yes. And I really want to give a shout out to Avnet, who is one of our very first sponsors. Phil Gallagher has always been a big supporter and really honored to have him on our advisory council. So Avnet has always supported us from the very beginning. So I just want to give a shout out and tell you, thank you so much, Avnet and all related companies. Thank you for the support. We would not be here right now. Perfect example of an ally coming behind us, not just for awareness, but with actual action to do something.
That's terrific. Thanks. Can you talk a little bit more about the mentorship program and the career coaching you're offering, because I have struggled with this in my past a little, and I'd be curious to know how you do it and what it is that makes your approach successful.
Okay, so mentorship has evolved so much since we started the mentorship program. So we have one-on-one mentorship where we actually match somebody with somebody in the industry who is serves the purposes of what they need. We don't match just to match. Our mentorship program, we spend hours and hours on the matching process. So if somebody applies as a mentee, they fill out a very detailed application and we match them to somebody who's really tailored to their needs. So it's all about finding the right mentor for the mentee. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have somebody, we have like 100 mentors at this point that we have in our base of very seasoned, skilled leaders in the industry. So, but if we don't happen to have the right person for that mentee, we go out and find it. So that's been the beauty of our program, is matching, number one. So a lot of the questions they have, like you mentioned career coaching, they bring this up in their mentorship conversations. And really what we have found is retention goes up. The more people get mentored, the more they retain at their organization. And it was very surprising for us to see this. And the reason why is that they're talking through the tough conversations that they need to have. Sometimes we feel like the only way to advance is to leave, or the only way to overcome an issue is to leave. But really coming to the table in a very honorable way that's very credible and having the tough conversations you don't want to have helps push past some serious barriers. So you mentioned wanting to know success stories. My own mentees that I've worked with, there's amazing success in them understanding and learning how to have those tough conversations and to go into it with confidence and to not be tied to the results, but genuinely what they're trying to accomplish in their heart of hearts. When people learn to take the emotions out of it, to take the offense out of things, and to have conversations in a way that's honoring of everyone, it is amazing what can happen. So I would say the retention part was a pleasant surprise. We weren't expecting that. But even sometimes when people make a change, you know, it's in alignment with what their career aspirations are. So what we try to help people with at Women Electronics is you own your own career. You decide what you want. You decide where you're going. You don't let somebody else decide for you. And it's also your responsibility to align with an organization that is in line with your personal values, mission, and goals. So that's all of our responsibility. So the worst case scenario is when people don't think through all these things, they don't know themselves well enough, and then they get aligned with an organization, it might not be anything the organization's doing wrong. It's just not where they should be, right? And then you get all this animosity. So we try to keep things really positive. Everything starts from within. If there's any issue, if there's anything going on, it's always a matter of that person reflecting, right? What is it I want? What is it I'm not getting? How is it that I can contribute where I'm not? Or how is it that I have done all this, but I'm still not able to reach my goals? So having those kinds of discussions with yourself, writing it down, having the conversations in a very honorable way, super critical, we're finding. And once people can do that, it's amazing what happens.
Mm-hmm. And what advice would you offer to young women or girls contemplating a future in the electronics field?
I would say, come here. I would say that even though our figures are low, we want them to be a part of the solution. There is no perfect industry. In fact, if you find one, they might not let you in, right? So there is no such thing as perfection. So we are the beauty of the electronics industry, especially right now. If you look at our long list of sponsor organizations, look at all the companies behind making a change. So to me, it's all about the intent. It's all about what is it we want to do now, right? And so even though our figures are lower of women in these leadership roles, the intent is there. The passion is there. There's a, you've got an organization like we. Go to an industry, if it's not this one, that does do something to support inclusion and diversity, whether it's women and people of ethnicity. Think of women of color in our industry, in many industries. If you look at the workplace report, those figures are so low of women of color in leadership positions. So I feel like as long as there's an industry that's talking about it, that's focused on it, that cares. And so that's the one thing I would say for us at Women Electronics. We love this industry. We care about the industry. We care about the people. So I would just say go somewhere where people are going to care.
Yeah, it's interesting when you just mentioned the low figures. It's always also fascinating that when you do not see yourself being represented, it kind of doesn't help you to go there, right? If you walk into a room where no one looks like you or comes from a place like you, it doesn't even have to be color or gender or sexuality. It can be just, I'm from a different country and already I walk into a room and I feel completely lost, right? So representation, I think, really matters. So the more women I see in these roles and the more Black women or women of color you see in these roles, I think it will inspire young girls to then go study maybe a STEM subject.
Yes, this is essential. And I will tell you a quick story. This is what happened to me. So I was always in our industry going to these executive events, and I never realized I had never seen another woman speak at any of these events. Never even thought of it. And then a woman was presenting who's now actually on our council, Lynn Terrell. And I was shocked. I didn't even know what I was missing until I heard her speak. And she was amazing. And after she spoke, she left the stage and she was actually leaving. And I ran up to her and I was like, oh my goodness, that was amazing. Thank you. But she was so eloquent. She was so professional. She was so good at what she did. And I thought, oh my goodness, I didn't realize how thirsty I was to see someone in that position. I actually wanted to cry. And so she said, I told her my idea at the time. I said, you know, I'm thinking of starting this thing. It's called Women in Electronics. And she said, if you ever do, come find me. So she was at Avnet at the time. And I went and I did find her when we first started. And Avnet became one of our first founding sponsors, but between her and then the support of Phil Gallagher. So I'm just saying it's super, super essential for women to see other women in leadership roles.
Hmm. Before I ask you my final question, is there anything we have missed? Anything I haven't asked you?
No, other than we strongly encourage men to come in and participate in our thought leadership discussions. So Women in Electronics is not just a rah-rah, you know, type of movement. We actually want to have the tough conversations. We do panel events. We do all kinds of discussions. Bring your thoughts, your cares, your concerns to the table. Let's talk about it in an honorable way. There's sacrifice for everyone as much as there's benefit for everyone. So this is together we have to do this. So I would just say that we united, we need the men to the table too.
I love your approach of especially that Women Electronics then forms we, and that you don't consider as a man versus woman discussion, that you stress the unity and the togetherness and the inclusion of everybody to find a solution. I love that. So if you had to pick a soundtrack or a song for the episode or your role in Women in Electronics, what song would be on the playlist?
I am going to pick something that would probably surprise you. It's Women in Electronics, just to preface. We are not a political organization. We are not a religious organization, anything like that. But me, Jackie Maddox, I am a faith-based person. And I would say I really get on my knees and pray for our membership all the time. Any event we have, anything we're doing, anytime people are coming together, I am in serious prayer, just praying blessings and protection over everyone. So there's a song, and it's a faith-based song, and it's called The Lord Bless You and Keep You. And literally every event we have, I think about that song, I sing it in my soul, and I just think of our members.
Great. Thank you so much, Jackie. It has been terrific having you on the show.
Thank you.
And I hope you enjoyed your time here as well.
This has been amazing. I love that people, that you would take the time to dedicate to WE for this interview. And I'm very honored to be here. So thank you for having me.
This was Avnet Silica's WE Talk IoT. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a rating. Talk to you soon.